Welcome to the Free From Wall Street podcast, where we talk about how to create, preserve, and pass on generational wealth without the roller coaster ride of the stock market. And now, here's your host, Stephen Libman, managing partner of Integrity Holdings Group.
Welcome back to the Free From Wall Street podcast. My name is Steve Libman, and I'm your host. And today we have Corey Peterson, a very special friend and mentor to me and to Integrity Holdings Group. So welcome, Corey.
Oh, man, I'm excited to be here, brother.
You know, we had a lot of fun on your podcast, so I'm glad to be able to return the favor and get you back on here for our listeners. So obviously, Free From Wall Street podcast, we've talked about a ton of different things, but you have a very unique story because you used to sling the Wall Street rock, and now you have set yourself free from it. So tell us a little bit about your background, where you've come from, and where you landed to, up till now.
Well, let me talk about the pain of being a financial advisor. So, you know, I grew up poor like most people, and, you know, my first job was a used car salesman. Actually, my first job was McDonald's, but I actually became a used car salesman. Then got in the food service industry. Started selling groceries to restaurants, and eventually, because I didn't have a college degree, so eventually someone said, hey, why don't you become a financial advisor? And I was like, well, that's a good idea, but don't you have to have a degree? And they said, no, you just got to pass test. Well, that's the hardest test I've ever studied for. I got hired on with a firm called Edward Jones, and Edward Jones taught me. And they're actually known for one of the best companies to work for in the financial services industry. And they taught me stocks, bonds, mutual funds, how to network, how to go meet people, how to be in spots where money shows up. Mm. And so that's what I did. And I along with that, I still had my real estate dream, but I was kind of doing it part-time and I was being a financial advisor full-time. And as I'm going through, 2004, 5, 6, things are pretty good. You're making investments with people, moving their money. And then 08 hits, 09. And at that moment, I realized that I no longer had any control of anything, right?
Sure. And I'm sure all the investors that you were managing money for realized that too.
Oh, without a doubt, because they'd come in and like, well, what happened? And this is the same reply most stockbrokers give. It's the market, right? And what a horrible thing to have to say, right? And to say it like that. And then, oh, by the way, if you want to move into the bond fund or something safe, I'm going to charge you another commission. And so here's the secret that no one tells you. Financial advisors, when they're talking in their groups of peers with other financial advisors, all we talk about is how much money we're making off of people. We're not talking about how we're trying to help people. It's all about, did you get that insurance sale? How much money did you move over? No one really gives two rips about, hey, how good of a job am I doing for my investors?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, because if you ask these guys, hey, what's your return on investment look like over the last 30 years? They couldn't tell you, but they could tell you what their W-2 was last year.
For sure.
Right.
Yeah, without a doubt, man. And so no one is like, really, it's funny. The sick joke is where Wall Street, being a financial advisor and being like Edward Jones taught us to be A share investors. Like you're going to make investors buy A shares, which is an upfront fee, upfront load. Mm. And now they've actually moved more to what's called managed money, which is now you just pay a fee every year forever for the rest of your life.
For assets under management, right?
Yeah.
So they charge a percentage of a point or a point or whatever the fees are for however much.
Four percent. Yeah. It'd be 3 to 4%.
No, but if they lose your money, right, it affects their assets under management, but it doesn't, they don't stop taking commissions, right?
We don't feel it, right? And so what's really sad, Steve, is as I was going through that business, I just learned how uninterested, even though we go do a risk tolerance based on your portfolio, your risk tolerance, here's your blend of mutual funds. It's all paper assets, Steve.
Right.
And, at the end of the day, people, I think, want a lot more. What they want is security. and they want some type of consistency. And at the end of the day, what I think the stock market is really inefficient of doing is giving those retired people paychecks.
Right.
It's just they're horrible at it.
Yeah. I mean, two things that I take away from this story is, one, you were young and broke and advising other people about what to do with their money. And I've been saying this on this show a while now is Wall Street, you're not going to take advice from an investor. You're going to
someone
take
that's
advice
broker than you are.
From a salesperson. Right. Like I went and I started to learn how to invest by talking to investors.
Yeah.
Most people don't. They learn how to invest from a salesperson. Right. Edward Jones, they only gave you a certain portfolio of things that you could sell. If I walked into your office and I said, hey, Corey, I like the real estate game. What can I invest in?
Yeah. I wouldn't even be able to advise you on that. You know why? There's a rule called selling away. And I'm not allowed as a licensed broker to talk about anything else other than what my brokerage reps, right?
Right.
That's called selling away, and it's not allowed. And so what I would probably say is that sounds risky. Why don't you want to invest in real estate? I have this REIT, a real estate investment trust,
sure,
that you can invest in. And I would say, you know, I would paint this picture because it's really about assets under management. Every broker, the question that goes around, how big's your book? How big's your book? How big's your book?
Right.
Because that means how much 12B1 fees you're getting and that recurring revenue. And so that's what most people are after time and time again. So,
right.
Yeah.
And, you know, so we talk about the volatility of Wall Street a lot. And, you know, when people are looking at consistency, so we're in the middle of COVID-19 pandemic, right? It's April 28th and people have been out of work for a couple months and people have been, you know, the country shut down. The market, by the way, was up 400 points yesterday. It's down today, but for absolutely no fundamental reason behind it. It's just because, wait, you said it before, it's the market.
Yeah.
Like it goes up, it goes down. And I don't understand how you can reliably predict how you're going to retire. I mean, we talk about creating,
anything,
preserving,
yes,
and passing on generational wealth. How do you effectively manage that type of wealth preservation or creation through a roller coaster?
It's looking back at it, I don't think it's even like humanly possible to do it even remotely good. And so that's why, you know, like me and you were in real estate. When the market crashed, I lost my job, by the way. Because I couldn't stand having to face my investors face to face and then have to charge them commissions. I realized I had no control. Mm. And so that's how I jumped into real estate full time. But what I realized is that what we offer, what you offer, what I offer is something that most people that are in the stock market are yearning for, which is, can I put my money in a real investment? Can I have true communication with someone that has, at least when my investors are talking to me. So right now, listen, we've made partial payments to investors. First time that we've ever not made a full payment to investors. But rightfully so, because we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But the difference is I'm giving almost weekly communications to my investors.
Yeah, but let me back up and stop you there, because what I want to make sure we differentiate of what people are hearing is you're not having your investors take a loss. You're paying them less income right now.
Yes.
Right. So as the market dips, you're actually losing real dollars. When you say, hey, Mr. Investor, I'm not going to be able to make a full payment this quarter because we're not exactly sure where the rent roll is going to be, what you're really saying is preservation of capital is paramount. Because we don't want to lose control of the asset or lose any part of your capital, we're going to stop paying you the exorbitant amount of interest that you were making on your money for a period of time until we get back to where we can be more predictable, right? So a quarterly payment that got a partial payment is not the same as losing money, right? I just want to make the distinction because,
yeah, because when
we feel bad,
you lose money, right?
Right. Yes. But we'll feel bad because we didn't pay the preferred return, but that's because that's the type of operators that we are. We want to make sure that everybody's getting what we projected, even in an unprecedented pandemic shutdown like this, right? Call your stockbroker and see if he's doing that for you.
And that's the difference. And that is why I think people yearn for the products that we create. A, it creates way better payments. Like, I know a lot of people have, between 6 prefs and maybe a little bit more than that, whatever. But that's real income. That's right. Mailbox money. And try to find something that pays 6%, that pays quarterly or even semi-annually in the market.
Yeah, I'm in a bunch of retirement Facebook groups, and I just kind of, I watch the conversations because it's, one, I'm a sociology major, so it's interesting for me to watch how people behave, and especially when things are so volatile right now. But what's really interesting about the whole thing is if they talk about cash flow or payments, they talk about one thing, an annuity. And now people are pitching annuities a lot because they were able to increase their fee structure on them and they can get paid. Before, they were difficult to get paid on because they were paying the investor, not necessarily the financial advisor. So now that that's changed a little bit, you see people talking about but what are their annuities paying them? 1.5% to 2%.
That's it, man.
I mean, they're not finding 6% quarterly cash flow payments, as far as I could tell, anywhere in the market. And the second thing that surprises me about these places is when people look at them and go, oh, the market went down. Don't look at it.
Yeah.
Don't look at it. What do you mean? Don't look at it. That's your money. You've worked your whole life to put it in a retirement account to hide when things come crashing down. And, it's just an interesting strategy to me that we have taught Americans to work hard, go to school, get a good job, save their money, put it into stocks, bonds, mutual funds, and ETFs that they don't control.
Yeah. Like, it's the only place, I think, wealthy people don't do this. Wealthy people want control.
Right.
Listen, we are so conditioned for people that are working their jobs, and these are mostly high income earners, like doctors, dentists, lawyers, CPAs, you name it. These guys, a lot of times they own their own job, or some of them own businesses. And because they don't, they're so focused on building their business or their practice or whatever it is, they just go find a financial advisor and he has their solution. And they don't always have access to people like us. That's why it's important for us to get the news out and the word out that we offer an alternative, because what they really want is just a consistent way. If we showed them us versus the stock market, I think for me, 9 times out of 10, I win.
Sure.
Because I can show listen, here's the good, bad, and the ugly. And then here's the good, bad, the ugly with my product.
Sure.
You tell me which one, and you let your smart person.
You can figure it out. And it's interesting because the 10th time out of 10, right? The one time that we don't win, let's say it was last year, because last year the market was on fire. I spoke to a couple of investors that said to me, hey, I went over it with my financial advisor because they were looking to invest into a deal with us. And they said, I looked over it with my financial advisor, but I made 20% in the market last year. I can't beat that. And I said, I understand, right? But now look at what happened, right? All of those gains have been erased over the last 5 years because it's not predictable. Nobody had a crystal ball and knew that some guy was going to eat a bat soup or whatever happened here to make this whole world shut down, right? I mean, it's what I like about real estate.
12% is not 12%. Like if you're in the market and you're going up and down, and you've got an average of 12%, doesn't mean that it's the same 12% that someone that does it in real estate. That's
the most simple math that was explained to me about this, which just let me have the aha light bulb moment, was if I have 100 grand put in the market and I lose 20% tomorrow, and then the next day I make 20%, I don't have my same 100 grand back. I actually have to earn 25% to get back to the same even. So when you dollar cost average, and this is like the big financial advisor conversation, right? It's dollar cost averaging. Well, when you talk about dollar cost averaging, you have to be able to look at the volatility calculator on top of that and see how much it's costing you. There's a really cool calculator online that's just Google volatility calculator, and you can put in kind of the volatility that you've seen, and it'll tell you if that return was consistent versus with the volatility, how much money it costs you. It's literally millions of dollars by the end of your lifetime.
Yeah. So, I believe that's our job for what I do now. Like for what I do is really, it's the same thing, is to sell that story, to tell that story to as many people as possible. And then really, I don't sell. I just offer the opportunity. Some people take up, some people don't. Sure. The ones that do tend to become big referral bases, because once they understand the difference and that they actually have a direct communication with a good syndicator, good operator like me or you, then what happens is the trust is formed. And people got to know, like, and trust you and understand your business model. And when you can communicate that real clearly to people, you'll have a lot more success. And from the investing standpoint, that's what you want as an investor. Even I make investments in other businesses and other companies, and I'm still looking for the same thing. I want to see people that do it like I do.
Yeah. Right? It's got to be clear. It's got to be simple. And I think a lot of people enjoy real estate specifically because it's understandable, right? They can touch it. They can feel it. They know why apartment buildings make money. They know that people need a place to live.
It's a necessity.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we're not trying to sell the next cool thing. I mean, what we're offering is a nice, clean, safe, stable place to live to people. And that's a good, I mean, that's a great investment. I was just reading a Forbes article yesterday, even during this crisis, they said the nationwide average was still 90% rental payments on time. I mean,
that's my whole point, Steve. Steve, listen, this is, we're gonna look back at this and say, oh, that was the blip, right?
Right.
But did our lives just get crapped on, like we were out of business? I'm telling you, it's not gonna happen. Like, no. Listen, we're gonna have some decreased income. Some people are gonna lose, some people that were not good operators that paid way too much for properties are probably gonna lose them. But for good operators that made really good, sound underwriting decisions, I'm going to suffer for the next 3 months, maybe 4 months, and then we'll just move through it. And, you know, in our 5-year plan to invest, we won't even remember this time.
Right.
I mean, we'll remember, everybody will remember COVID.
Right.
But it won't be like, oh God, and I lost it all. It won't be that story.
Yeah. So let me tell the listeners a little bit of our backstory too. So now we're in the similar wholesaling fix and flip space. We're in the residential, everybody says to me, well, why would you guys shut down your residential business? And, you know, so we started flipping 10 years ago, wholesaling 10 years ago. We grew the company to doing 15, 20 deals a month.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a big company, no light at the end of the tunnel, right? It was the highest working, highest paid, highest taxed job I ever had. So we're listening to some podcasts, right? We're trying to figure out what's the best way to go. And we listened to your podcast, right? The Multifamily Legacy Podcasts. And, you know, so we're scrolling through Apple Podcasts and we're like, which one should we listen to? And we landed on Corey's. And Corey's telling the story about how he used to wholesale and flip. And then, you know, a mentor of his showed him the light at the end of the tunnel where true wealth and true wealth creation and retirement could be, right? I mean, if you go to his webpage, if you go to Kahuna Investments and you find, he's always talking about the sunsets and palm trees lifestyle. So first it was just a good vibe, right? Like let's listen to this guy. He has a similar story that we had getting out of the grind. I thought I started the real estate business to get out of the grind.
Yeah.
And then what I realized was I traded one grind for another. And granted, I was happier because I was working for myself, right? And I learned a lot and that business was a blessing, but man, I did not see how I was going to get really wealthy. I didn't know how my kids were going to get passive cash flow. I just didn't know how to do it. So we listened to your podcast. We listened maybe two or three of them and we start hammering the phones, right? We got to get this guy on the phone. How do we get this guy on the phone? We do. You invite us out to San Diego for a boardroom and we come out, we spend 3 days and the aha light bulbs go on, right? It was just like the first time I walked into a single family fix and flip seminar. And I was like, oh, people can actually do this and make real money doing it.
Yeah.
And man, now we're in a couple of deals together. We're in the process of taking down 220 units together. I mean, you know, we've done a lot in a very short period of time. I think we've probably participated in somewhere in the vicinity of $30 million worth of deals since we had dinner, right? And talked about what we were really looking to do in life.
Dude, it's so awesome watching you guys, by the way. You know, it's funny, I got in this business of teaching what I know because I've always felt, and I think this is why you started your podcast too, it's gotta be your platform to give back. And I made a lot of mistakes. I still make mistakes, man. And I just put an open book out there and hopefully you leave enough crumbs that people can see your path. And the right people look at that and they just follow it. And that's what you guys did, is like, listen, I understand the concept. We've been successful doing single family, but the stories were the same. And the pain had come to the point where it's like, you know, you just had a newborn. You have a newborn.
Yeah.
And you're like, I want to have my life work so I can be a full-time dad and still do the business.
Right.
And you're on your way. Like, that's what you're building that now. And it's way different.
It's 100% different. And people, you know, they get intimidated by the numbers. And that's the great thing about knowing guys that do what we do, is you don't have to do all the work. We'll go do all the work. And in comparison to what it was flipping houses, it feels like not a lot of work. Our passive investors, they love it, right? They get quarterly checks in the mail and they're all over the world. And they're like, hey, I got my check. Thanks a bunch. I posted on my Facebook page a couple of days ago, some guy holding up his check with a big smile. The market was down about 700 points, but he was receiving his quarterly check from, you know, a rental that we own. So, and you're right. I mean, getting on the podcast and talking to people and just letting them know, we're not the smartest guys in the room. What we did was we saw what smart people were doing and replicated that. You have a great book out, right? Copy Your Way to Success.
Copy Your Way to Success.
I mean, we are not inventing anything new under the sun. What we are doing is taking what really smart people have done for centuries and replicating that business model and teaching other people that they can do it too. And
that is the business, man.
There's freedom in that. Yeah. And man, it makes me feel really good. You know, we were just on another call with Travis and Sean talking about what's going on at one of our apartment complexes right now. And, you know, it's nice to know that, yeah, we'll have a little blip here, but guess what? It's coming out of our pocket, right? Coming out of our end. Our investors are still making their money. And are we okay with that? As operators, of course, right? Leaders eat last. We put our investors first. And because of that, they keep creating those silos that you were talking
about.
But
there's no better feeling. So I had an investor call me, I think last month, when it was really starting to go. And she's been investing with me for a long time. And she was like, Corey, I thank God that we met and that most of my money is with you, because I would be an absolute train wreck right now. She is in retirement, just recently retired for the last 3 years, I believe. And it was a great text to get. And then, like, a lot of times, you know, she saves up my checks that I send her. And then she's like, hey, Corey, I'm in Italy and you're paying for this trip.
Nice.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's the best feeling, is when this business is done right. I get to win as an operator. I get to live a lifestyle that I truly enjoy and love. I get to help my investors get a retirement income and take care of them in a way that really is meaningful and helps them too.
Yeah.
And then we get to create communities where we can really improve people's lives. That's called win-win-win.
Yeah.
And when you create that scenario and you do it right, how can you not love this business?
And that's why, you know, some people ask us, well, you know, the last year you did the residential business, which, by the way, we are under contract and closing this week on the last flip we will ever do. And that is partially a tribute to you teaching us the ropes, but we are done flipping houses. So, but that business did $3.5 million in the last year that it was in operation.
Yeah.
And people are like, why would you shut that business down? And if you look at psychometric testing and things like that, I'm a very high extrovert, right? I feel for people. I'm empathetic. I really want to be around people. The converse, the problem with that type of personality, right, is going out to an estate where you're buying the house cash from somebody. And yes, you're helping them out, right? But there's a part of you that can't feel like you're buying this house for 60 cents on the dollar. You're going to flip it. You're going to turn around. You're going to make some money off of it. And that's the business model. And we did it for 10 years. But there's a piece of you that goes, man, I wish I could have given them a little bit more money.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
And then when I started to raise capital into some of our deals, right? We found the deal. We liked the deal. We underwrote the deal. It works. Now I get to go talk to people. And the question isn't, hey, this is what I need from you. Right. This is, hey, what's your portfolio look like now? Right. And the average is 4 to 5% over the last 10 years, people are telling me.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's before fees, but it's for another time.
Yeah.
And then what we're offering on some of these deals, right? And it's funny that story that you said about that lady that texted you, it resonates with me because a guy from our church did the same thing. You know, it took some years, but he moved the majority of his retirement account over. And he actually, we did the math for him. And, you know, he was making, he said, Steve, I'm making 6%, but I'm taking 6% out every year for my living expenses.
Yep.
But I'm losing money every year. And I said, well, the math is pretty simple, right? It's either you're taking more than 6% or you're not earning 6%. He said, no, my financial advisor says I am. So we go through it, right? After fees and everything, he's making about 4.2%. So we calculated it out. He's a newly retired guy. He had 18 years left till he hit zero. That's how long
he's gonna last.
Taking out and putting back in what he's taking out, right? So now, you know, he's talking about legacy. What do I do for my kids? I want to leave something to my kids when I die. Okay. Well, you need a better rate of return or you need to take less money. Right? Those are the two options. You either need to earn more or take less. And anyway, long story short, he is now taking more.
Or get busy dying. I know that's
get busy dying. Yeah, I know. That's true. Right. But so what we've been able to do is now look at the projections, right? And now he will leave, I don't know, 1.4 times what his initial investment was when he dies. And he's still taking more than he was taking before. I mean, that's life-changing stuff.
Dude, that opens up the world for people. And like, that's the difference. And that's why, you know, there's good and bad syndicators out there, right? There's good, and even with what we do, right? There's bad operators out there. So it's really important to take the time to vet and check the under the hood, find out who their investors are, talk to them, find out what deals they've done.
Anybody tells you that the privacy of their investors requires them to not be able to put you in touch with any of their investors, run. Right. Yeah. I have people that I call right now. Right. I can conference call you in and say, hey, I need to talk to three of your investors right now. We'll do it right now.
Yeah.
I mean, make sure you're do your due diligence, because with every investment, of course, there's risk. But now you're investing in not just a project, but a person. So you got to find out who those people are. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think when done right, it does really offer something magical that it's just not offered in traditional mainstream thinking and what most people believe their options are. And a lot of people just don't know that they have this option, a real estate option. So if you're listening right now, consider yourself lucky, but honestly, share this podcast, because there's a lot of people out there that need to know and need to have the financial education to understand their options.
Yeah, trillions and trillions of 401k and self-directed IRA money is sitting in the stock market right now. And people, I mean, the people that are really close to retirement, I mean, I'm watching on these Facebook groups where people are talking about, well, now I got to work another 4 years, right? Because their earning power has to continue for them to be able to retire because of what they lost in the market. I mean, look, I got into multifamily real estate for one reason: safety, security, stability. I mean, I'm an entrepreneur at heart, so I'm not risk averse, but when it comes to my family, I am. I'm risk averse when it comes to how much time I could spend with my kids or how secure they're going to be financially. And don't beat yourself up. If you're hearing this now and you're like, man, I really wish I knew what I didn't know before. I mean, the best time to plant a tree was 25 years ago. The next best time is today.
Yeah.
Right. We can all start now and you can really start to change the future. And by the way, this was a 2008 thing. Like in 2008 is when the Jobs Act made it available for investors to directly invest with us. So it's not like this was always the possibility. Now, people have always been doing real estate, but the doors have been opened for people to learn and to invest and to take those passive income checks. And we didn't have time today to go into the tax benefits of it, but what I said in the beginning of the show about why we left residential was because it was a high-paying, highly taxed job. What do you think you're going to pay in federal taxes this year?
Don't judge me, but it's gonna be a big fat zero.
Yeah, mine's gonna be a big fat zero too.
I'll probably I'm actually carrying forward a $4.5 million loss right now. We bought a couple properties this year, so we'll have some more losses to keep pushing forward. So yeah, I don't foreseeably save me paying taxes for the next until I die, and then I won't pay taxes.
My kids will. Future. that's available to the investors that invest with us too, right? They get to utilize their own depreciation.
Secret money.
Yes.
Secret money.
Secret underground layer. But if you haven't read Tom Wheelwright's Tax-Free Wealth, working on getting him on the podcast soon, but that book makes the tax code fun. I used to run and hide as a flipper because I was getting buried in taxes. And now, understanding that the tax code is written just so that you do what the government wants you to do, and then they give you massive benefits to do that. Now, that has changed my entire paradigm too. So when I say I'm not going to pay taxes, that's because I'm not using the tax code. That's because I'm doing exactly what the government wants me to do and benefit for that from the tax code. So yeah, no taxes for us either.
Dude, listen, when you buy and hold real estate, Uncle Sam loves you for it. And it really is I know we don't have a lot of time to spend it, but I'm just telling you right now, that's a game changer. Listen, I was 50% tax bracket. You were too, when you're making that much money, right? Imagine making $1 million and then half of that, or whatever, $100,000, and you get, and a half of it goes to Uncle Sam. It's like, oh.
Yeah, you worked for 6 months for the government.
You want to vomit. And so what does life look like when you don't, when you play the game like rich, wealthy people do, right? They've learned to play the game. We can't change the rules. Well, the rules change. Government changes rules. That's okay. But you just got to understand the rules. And then you play the game based on that. That's what we're doing now, is we're playing the wealthy game. And it really, it is game changer because it changes your net worth. Like my net worth now, when I was flipping homes, I've done it from 2009 to 2012 flipping. I made good, great income, but I never had a net worth.
Right.
Now I have a net worth. That net worth is big, and it's amazing because that's real wealth. If I was to sell all my assets, I would have a big amount of money, multi-millions of dollars. And I never had that fixing and flipping. I just had a nice income.
Yeah.
And even that was still subject to 50% tax. So tax deal is a real thing.
It's huge. I mean, the first year that we shut down the residential business and got into the commercial business, I could make 40% less money and live the same lifestyle. Yeah. Right. But we're not doing that. We're making a little bit more. So, well, listen, Corey, it's always a pleasure, man, to have you just chat, and I can't wait to see you. We're going to be out in Ohio soon once the world opens back up to finish out our due diligence. So we'll go out and grab some steaks and talk about the next 220 families that we're going to help create a nice place to live. So listen, man, thank you so much. And Travis never gets to sit here and say thank you to all the people that we get to talk to that have helped bring us through our journey, but we appreciate you. We're so blessed to know you. We're so blessed to be partners with you. And it's been a lot of fun so far, and we're just getting started.
The future is looking good, brother. So you guys, I'm so proud of you. You guys keep rocking on, man.
Thanks, brother. And we will chat with you soon.
Thank you for listening. Like what you hear? Be sure to subscribe and head over to freefromwallstreet.com and sign up for our free guides to help you and your family invest with purpose.